Draped above the entrance to the Kabul Museum is a banner proclaiming, "A nation can stay alive when its culture and history stay alive." No nation in recent years has experienced such a brutal assault on its cultural heritage, most famously 2 years ago when the Taliban decreed images of living beings un-Islamic and ordered all such images destroyed. The world watched, helpless, while they blew up the giant ancient Buddhas in the Bamiyan Valley. Then the Taliban came with bats to smash the statues and paintings in the Kabul Museum. Morning Edition series, Recreating Afghanistan, continues today with my trip back to the Kabul Museum and trek to a newly discovered archaeological site promising riches to replenish a lost culture.
There was heavy shelling in this area and a lot of destruction.
Jim Williams has been in and out of Afghanistan for more than 20 years, working for UNESCO, the cultural arm of the United Nations. He joined me one hot afternoon in front of the Kabul Museum, an old mansion on the edge of town guarded by two headless stone lions.
When I was here in 1990, the museum had been hit by one rocket. The rocket had come through and hit one of the exhibition cases, but everything was still intact.
Soon, though, the civil war that started after the Soviets left between Mujahideen warlords rained down more rockets. They cracked the graceful old museum open, and the warlords discovered the treasures within, statues and carvings in gold, ivory, and marble, and one of the world's greatest collections of ancient coins.
They looted the objects, and anything that was transportable, they would come and take it. It was like a supermarket for anybody coming in.
By the time the Taliban arrived, there wasn't much left for them to destroy. It all seemed pretty hopeless just a month ago. Then something miraculous happened. Four thieves were arrested near the Pakistani border. With them, antiquities, heads, hands, and feet, some two dozen statues in all. This find, in turn, led back to a valley and a buried city.
Local people left it alone for centuries.
Syed Makhdoom Rahim is Afghanistan's Minister of Culture. We have traveled all morning south from Kabul over dusty country roads. We've crossed a mountain peak so high and winding, locals call it the Dizzy Donkey, and finally reached this vast brown valley ringed by blue mountains in the province of Logar. All around us rise massive dirt mounds, like anthills, 3 and 4 stories tall.
People call it Kafir Kut, infidel city.
Unbeliever city.
Yes, because this city was belonging to the pre-Islamic era, between 3rd to 5th century. But you see those holes, the big caves. Thieves came from the neighboring country and did it.
The thieves who've honeycombed these hills digging for buried loot may not have discovered this site, but their capture brought it to the attention of the Minister of Culture. He in turn brought me, UNESCO experts, the governor of Logar province, lots of armed guards, village leaders, and others, to this place called Harwar. We are the first outsiders to see the site, who don't, that is, have looting in mind. UNESCO's Jim Williams, who knows as much as anyone about Afghanistan's antiquities, marvels. He estimates this underground city is more than 18 miles square.
It's enormous. It may be the largest Buddhist city ever discovered in Afghanistan. I would say it would be comparable to Angkor Wat in Cambodia.
Come up here, I'll show you something.
Here you can see an actual Buddhist temple, and then the dome would have been built above. And in the corner over here, you can see where a Buddhist statue was.
The Minister of Culture guesses these empty rooms once held gold coins, jewelry, dishes. Still, Syed Rahim has a wide smile on his face as he crouches down in front of 2 huge feet from toe to toe, easily 18 inches wide, attached to legs still embedded in the wall. It's a Buddha, he says.
Look at these legs and the toes. You can guess how tall and how big it is. Come here and see.
Is this the first time you've seen this?
This is, of course, the first time.
For you to see this right this minute.
For me, you can look at me and you can. It looks everything to me. Everything. Doesn't matter if it's golden or it's made by regular mud. It's history, it's civilization, it's our past.
For generations, nearby villagers watched over this city of the infidels. Even now, they try to protect it. We come across what looks like a big, shallow grave. Here, say the elders, some villagers uncovered a long leg and followed it and followed it and couldn't reach the end. So they covered it back up with dust. It's a sleeping Buddha, they say. Here and there on the site, soldiers in mismatched camouflage stand guard, one rather absurdly with an anti-aircraft rocket launcher resting on his shoulder. Minister of Culture Rahin has appealed to the governor and the local militias for as much protection as possible, but he says if only a team of international excavators would come here, take over the site, work on it, that would be the best protection of all.
Even if students of archaeological faculties are ready to come here and start excavations, we are ready to send armed people with them and guarantee their security. You know, our civilization is vanishing once more, once again, if we leave it like this.
On the day of our trip to Harwar, the Minister of Culture made an impassioned speech to a gathering of village leaders about how at some future time everyone would benefit from this site. If they keep it safe, it will be famous. Tourists would come with money to spend. But now everyone here is poor, and the valuable objects just under the ground are irresistible. As we were leaving, one old villager darted over and quickly confided, "When night falls, the guards wave in trucks to carry out what they've dug up in the dark." Back at the Kabul Museum, UNESCO's Jim Williams says it's not just the very poor who are tempted by the trade in black market antiquities.
Let's put it this way. It's probably the most profitable business in this country today, perhaps even more profitable than opium poppy growing.
But vulnerable as it now is, the site at Harwar and possibly others not yet discovered offer great hope for restoring some of what once was, and possibly even more.
Afghanistan is a treasure trove, and it always has been. For Central Asia, it's probably the richest country around archaeologically. This was a crossroads of cultures from time immemorial, and very little has been excavated here.
In a back room of the Kabul Museum, two men gingerly carry in a locked tin trunk and set it on a wooden table. Inside, wrapped in cotton and brown paper, are their new acquisitions, the broken statues retrieved at the Pakistani border.
This is the head of a soldier, and the smugglers were trying to smuggle it out.
A curator named Shirazuddin unwraps it slowly. A couple more curators, a secretary and a guard, crowd in for a look. These people risked their lives to hide and keep safe what little they could while the museum was under siege. Now they gaze tenderly at the ancient face.
He has curly hair, he is wearing a helmet, and the right ear is missing, and also the chin is broken. And he has very beautiful eyes.
The statue is no larger than the head of an infant. It rests in the palm of the curator's hand. Then, as slowly as he unwrapped it, Shirazuddin repacks the delicate artifact and sends it back into storage to wait for the moment when it can once again go on display at the Kabul Museum.